Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Philadelphia, I'll see you August 18th through the 20th. Austin, Texas, September 2nd through the 3rd. That's Labor Day weekend. Vancouver, finally, September 15th through the 17th. And Edmonton, I'll be there September 29th through October 1st. Get your tickets to those shows and all shows on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support. I'm telling you, we got episodes coming. The community continues to grow. If you are watching on YouTube, please just hit subscribe. It's a free way to help the show, and it definitely fucking helps us, all right? And if you got to have more, then you got to check out the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all, all right? It's $5 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free, and I'm highlighting the lowlights with y'all. If you or someone you know has that story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. And hopefully we'll get to do an episode together. You're also getting the Honeydew a day early. You're getting it ad-free, and you're getting it at no additional cost. All right? Dates. Tour dates keep running on, man. Thank you for coming out, guys. Philly, August 18th through the 20th. Austin, Labor Day weekend, September 2nd through the 3rd. Vancouver, we're finally. I think this is like 2.5 years in the making here. September 15th through the 17th. Now, you guys know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say that these are the stories behind the storytellers. I am very excited to have this guest on here today. First time on the Dew, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Joe DeRosa. Welcome to the Honeydew, Joe.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you for being here.
Good to be here.
This is long overdue.
No, it's not. It's not long overdue.
It is, though.
No, I mean, you started this 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. That was right when I moved back to New York.
Oh, you went, okay, that's LA. When you went back.
All so right. It's literally right, the exact, and then it was the pandemic this whole time. So actually, fair we're kind of right on. This is my first trip back to LA since I moved to New York.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I got here yesterday. Okay. This is the first work-related thing I'm doing.
You hit me
this
up.
This week.
Thank you.
So thanks for considering. We're right on time.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Plug, promote, everything you want to plug.
Well, actually, this month, I'm going to be in Atlantic City at the Atlantic City Comedy Club. And next month, I'm going to be in San Diego. And then I'm at the American Comedy Company. And then I'll be at the Dead Crow in October. Anyway, I got a bunch of dates coming up. Check me out live, please. This is like me being back on the road, basically, for the first time in 3 years.
Haven't really been rolling at all?
No. Oh, no, okay. I'm going back out now. I'm coming
right
on.
When the numbers are going up. Good.
Yeah. Fuck it.
You waited all that time, and they're spiking again.
There ain't no way to win. Fuck it. You know what I mean? There's no winning number. You just got to choose your losing number. So this is it. I'm out there now. But no, come on out. I'm doing my new hour. It's called I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. It's full hour of hopeless comedy. Anyway, joedarosainfo.com for tickets and info and all that stuff on shows. But also, I opened a bar and sandwich shop in New York City with my dear friend Paul Italia. It's called Joey Roses. It's on the Lower East Side. It's a social club. It's affordable drinks. It's killer sandwiches. 8 sandwiches for $8 a piece. Plus, we got other things on the menu.
That's cheaper than Subway.
Yeah, dude. That's the whole game. It's you know what's funny? It's American Gangster. I was just watching that when he gets the pure heroin. And he's like, we're going to give them double the product at half the cost, right? And I was like, oh, that's what we're trying to do with the sandwiches.
Exactly.
So for the pure uncut sandwiches and cheap drinks, come to Joey Rose's, please, man. The influx, outpouring of support from the comedy community has been amazing. From the neighborhood, it has been amazing. From New York, it's been amazing. Just come through. We're open Tuesday through Sunday. We open at 12 p.m. every day. It's a great time. It's a place you can go to and hang. It's a cool vibe, everything. JoeyRosesNYC.com for all the info there. And, you know, and also if you want to order online and all that stuff.
Have you and Sal debated on any of your sandwiches yet?
No, but Sal, it's funny. Sal, you know, because we do Taste Buds together, podcast, and Sal and I we have a real kinship with food.
I know. I watch.
Yeah, that's where our friendship was born. We were pals. We were friends. We were teetering on true friends. But when we started to talk about food,
you're a grown man. Yeah. Say that.
I know. It's just, you know, it's funny to hear a grown man say something innocent.
Yeah,
right?
Teetering on true friends.
The real friendship kicked in when we started to talk about food. The first episode we ever did was Chips Ahoy versus Oreos, and that was a real heated argument we actually had. And when we were having it, I remember thinking, like, this is where we become friends. Like we're screaming about cookies right now. Like, and it's not as a joke. Like, we're really heated.
Yeah, I watch you guys. Yeah. Go at it. Yeah.
So, 2 years later, we were away. Sometimes we would take vacations and stuff together, and not just me and him. There's a bunch of us. Yeah. But we were making breakfast, and we started arguing about bagels, and that was our second episode. And in the middle of the argument, I mean, we were fucking heated, and we were bringing everybody in the house in. On it. And then he just in the middle of it, he was just like, do you think this is a podcast? And I was like, yeah, I think right? And I remember this is so funny, these friendship moments you remember that bring you such joy, right? We were at a house out in the Hamptons, and we had a pool at the house. And as soon as he said that, we went into full like work mode, like what is it called? And we were sitting in the living room. It was 10:30 in the morning. We're going back and forth. Nah, what about this? Nah. And he just looked at me and he goes, shouldn't we be discussing this with a nice cold beer in the pool right now? And I was like, I just lit up.
I mean, that's how you should work.
Yeah. And he walked across the room and hugged me. And he said, and don't you ever move to LA ever again. And we went down to the pool. And we talked about it all day. And at 4:30 p.m., I went, Taste Buds. And everybody was like,
that, dude, that's it, I think.
And we were like, all right, I think that's it. And then, you know, and then boom. That's how it started.
I could watch you argue over a grilled cheese and a peanut butter and jelly all fucking day.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. And something interesting, you know, I ask everybody to come on with stuff they'd like to talk about. And then where it goes. But yours starts with adoption. And that's – do you talk about that in your stand-up?
I have. I sort of moved past it because the stuff that I had to say about it – it's an interesting thing. I talk about it very indirectly. A lot of what I talk about, excuse me, in my act, when it comes to me personally, stems from adoption. The stuff I talked about that actually dealt with it head on was not a ton because I was adopted at 9 days old.
9 days?
Yeah. It was a pretty clean scenario. You know, there just wasn't a lot there. I've always known my parents. They're my parents. I love them dearly.
You talking about your biological parents?
No. My fake parents.
My friend. The people that gave their lives for you.
I remember Brian English.
Sacrificed for the stranger. You're 9 days old, but you're still a stranger.
The funniest jokes about my adoption, my friends all made, so I can't even make them because they're not mine. But like my friend Brian English used to always go, I'd be on the phone with him and I'd be like, Brian, hold on, my dad's calling me. And he'd go, fake dad,
yeah.
Right? Which always made me laugh. And then Russ Meneve, one of the funniest comics ever, I love the guy so much. He used to go, hey, DeRosa. You think your real parents are somewhere wiping their brow at the bullet they dodged, getting rid of you? You'd always say that. He'd go, yeah, DeRosa, your adoptive parent, you think they knew what a scumbag they were inheriting?
All right,
which is the funniest thing ever.
I love it. I you know, my pain and suffering has been from my dad dying at 16, and I have a friend one day just dropped it on me. He's like, hey, Ryan, your dad's still dead, right? And, dude, I'm telling you, I fucking almost pissed my pants.
So funny.
Like,
dude.
The still dead just is so good. It's so good. It's and with the genuine delivery, you know?
One of my best pals, Scott, and literally my oldest friend in the world. I've known him. Our parents met because they moved into the same suburban neighborhood. And my mom met his mom while they were walking us in our strollers.
No way.
And then they started to hang out with me and Scott as babies. And then as we got older, we kept hanging out. Like, so he's literally my oldest friend in the world. But his dad died when he was 12. And I make any fucking joke I can about it. Especially, we love to play beer pong and we talk a lot of shit. And if I'm against him, I'm always bringing up the dead dad. Yeah. Every chance I can.
You should. That's what it's all about. Yes, that's what this show is all about. So what was the situation? Were you, do you know now, like, was your biological mom young? Was this, did they know that they were giving you up to this specific family? Or were you in a hospital that you were adopted by? How did it all happen for you?
Okay, so I actually know more than I'm supposed to know because I guess they used to be a little more fast and loose with the information. But I know that one of my parents was Egyptian by blood, and I know that one of them was Italian by blood.
But you don't know which?
Don't know which.
Okay.
At least that's what we were told. I did those DNA tests later and found out that I have no, at least according to Ancestry, Italian blood in me. It's all North African and Middle Eastern. It's all Arab blood.
Really?
Basically, yeah. So one of them could have been Italian, but they could have meant he grew up in Italy, but by heritage, he's actually Egyptian,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
So I knew that much. They actually told my parents the hospital I was adopted.
Who's that?
Or that I was born in, I mean, excuse me, the agency.
And they weren't supposed to?
I mean, you could trace your parents easily at that. Now, the hospital, I believe, closed, which is a running theme in my life. The hospital I was born in is no longer there. The grade school I went to is no longer there. The high school I went to is no longer there. And my college dissolved my major after I graduated. So the universe does not want me to know my past.
Clearly.
And it starts with adoption. It's a very odd thing, right? But even with knowing that information, I never really had an urge to go try to figure out who they were.
You've never met them? Never?
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
All right, so wait a second. So let's go back. 9 days old, Joe. Was your name Joe DeRosa? Are you born Joe DeRosa?
No. That was the name that you don't. I didn't have a name.
So for 9 days, you're nameless.
Yeah,
dude, you got to do something with that. 9 days, you're nameless.
Nine days, nameless.
And then, is it the DeRosas who adopt you? Yeah. So they come in, a married couple.
My parents were married. So this is a very interesting story. My parents are married. They still are. My dad's a deacon in the Catholic Church.
No.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, which is a step below priest.
Yeah.
My mom was a Eucharistic minister at one point, but they're religious people. They're not shitty about it, but that's their deal, and I respect it. They weren't in those positions when they adopted me, but they were religious because of their upbringing, whatever. So they were pretty much following the Catholic rule book. They were on two adoption lists. They were on a church curated adoption list, and then they were on a secular list from some outside organization. The church called them one day and said, "We want you to remove your name from all lists except for the church list." And my parents said, "Why?" And they said, "Because you need to believe the Lord will provide." And they said, "Okay." And they hung up, and secretly they were like, "No, we're not doing that. We want to adopt a baby." The next day, the secularist called them and said, "We have a baby for
you." No way.
So had they done that,
go to them.
Yeah. So who knows? So, you know, it's kind of a wild thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not more wild than the chances of your sperm fertilizing the egg and all that shit. But I mean, it's as far as...
Well, as ingrained as they are in the Catholic way, that's a big deal for them to commit to saying, fuck that. And then luckily the next day. So what happens then with the Catholic Church finds out that they get you?
They did. They just, I think, as
far as I know. Didn't come from their list.
Yeah, well, I think they just quietly removed from the Catholic list and that was the end of that. I don't think, it's not like you can get sued or something. You know what I mean? You're not accountable.
But they weren't frowned upon and...
I don't think it was that
church.
I don't think it was that person.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
No. I think it was a much broader list for the diocese. For the diocese. I don't think it was like their next door neighbor priest was, yeah. You know what I mean? Like it was pretty broad.
All right. Now, your parents, did they have any biological children before you? Did they adopt any other kids?
They weren't able to have kids.
And are you their only child?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, being that they are religious, you know, and I don't know how seriously she means this, but my mom has often referred to them getting me as their miracle and all that, you know, because that's the way religious people tend to talk. Whether or not she believes it's truly a miracle, I don't think so. But I do think she truly does think like this was the Lord's plan to bring us together. I don't believe in that sort of thing. But I will say, when you look at the evidence, it is kind of eerie, you know, like the way the connection happened.
Look, I was raised Catholic. My grandmother, all her sisters, we have a nun. Well, she passed, Sister Carmina. So it was very Catholic in my household. The whole time we're all fighting against it. Like, I don't want to go to fucking church on Sunday. They're going Saturday, saying a rosary. I'm dropping her off, picking her up, Hail Mary at night or whatever it is, Our Father at night, the beads and all that. And I just... Nothing made me go against the Catholic Church way of thinking more than them preaching it to me.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at is, I know this sounds very LA or California, but I know full, there is definitely something bigger than us going on.
Yeah.
Do I believe in this faceless, nameless, sexless, languageless, entity that governs only this one tiny fucking particle of dust in the entire fucking universe?
Right.
No. I don't believe what I was taught by those people.
Right, right.
But I do believe in a higher, if we want to say power, sure, love, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
There's definitely something bigger than us going on. I just don't believe it's that bullshit.
No, that's funny you mention that, because I'm just now starting to re-explore spirituality, not in a organized religion sense, but I am listening to some, to some people of the cloth and their books and things like that. And, it's funny because at least I have to. It's kind of like AA, like some people go to AA because it helps them, but they have to look past the God part of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And go, I'm here for the bigger idea. That's kind of how I look at religious stuff now. I'm listening more for, the connection between meditation and prayer and how to connect to the universe and how to surrender yourself to the idea that none of this really matters and there's more to it. And look, it's easier to say and stomach. The more prosperous you are, the easier it is, So it's, I would always sort of hit a wall with a guy like Deepak Chopra, and I'm not knocking him. I think he's a pretty brilliant guy on many levels. And I do think he's got a good heart. But, I'd see him and he'd have, kind of gold, diamondy glasses talking about, surrender yourself. And I'm like, well, goddamn, dog, you got gold glasses on. That's easy.
You look down on me with your gold glasses.
But then I feel like when I say it, it's arrogant to somebody. What about the homeless guy in the street? None of this matters. Right. Come on, man.
There's always going to be something.
Yeah. So it's, but I'm trying to get past those things.
So did they have you in Sunday school?
I went to Catholic school through 12th grade.
Okay.
So which is what turned me off from it too.
Yeah.
All
right. But what age do you find out your story?
I always knew I was adopted. I never remembered them telling me. However, my mom didn't tell me I was half Arab until I was 12.
But so she did know.
She knew. Yeah. She didn't tell me till I was 12. She told me I was adopted from the beginning. I don't remember being told that. Right. I knew that my whole life. But she didn't tell me the Arab thing till I was 12. And she was hesitant. She was scared. And I don't blame her for this. I think a lot of people would misinterpret what I'm about to say. But she told me don't really talk about that, because we lived in a Roman Catholic, Irish Catholic, Polish Catholic suburb in Pennsylvania. Everybody was white. Everybody was the same religion. Everybody thought the same. It was the dictionary definition of suburbia. And, it's not that it was bad people. There were bad people. There were a lot of great people too. But I think she was very scared. She was very protective of me because of their journey and trying to have a child and then how I came to them and all that stuff. And I think she was scared. You can't be the one person who's not like everybody else around here.
The Arab kid.
Yeah, because they're going to do – and I was a bullied kid already. I was a bullied kid. I had a tough time. I was,
Why?
Why? Look at me.
But were you running your mouth, or were you just easy pickings at the time, or what was it?
I had a lot of, I always had a temper. Always. I was always an emotional person. I still struggle with it. And I'm not somebody that's going to easily let it slide off his back. I'm going to, look, I did a show in San Francisco two nights ago, and I was like 10 minutes in. The crowd was being tight, and I was sitting for the first 10 minutes, and I leapt off the stool. And I go, guys, cut the fucking shit right now. I'm doing a fucking hour. Loosen the fuck up. Stop it. It's not my fault. Stop your fucking it. City's been overrun soulless fucking techies. Shit. Right? And then they were laughing. Like, and it opened it up. Because I have learned how to kind of use it in a funny way. Mm-hmm. But I meant it. So, like, I'm not a guy that's going to be like, you know, hey, man, hey, it's easy peasy, man. Hey, yeah. No worries, bro. That we'll get there when we get there. Yeah. So when I was a kid, I had a pretty strong tell when something was bothering me. And so kids that picked on me kept on picking on me. And I was also, and I don't know why this was, I was kind of afraid of physical altercation from a young age. And I don't know why. I didn't have brothers.
I mean, I've been in a ton of fights.
Yeah.
But going back, I think everyone does. I always did. It's not until you get fucking punched in the face a couple times and you can take it and then you realize, all right, that wasn't that fucking bad.
Right.
It's not till that. You even taste a little bit of your own fucking blood. You know, your nose is bleeding. You're like, all right, I'm still here. I can fuck. It's not. I mean, that's terrifying that some stranger wants to fuck you up.
Yeah.
They don't know you. They don't know a thing about you. And they will absolutely kill you, some of these people. It's a wild fucking thought.
I was, I think for me, it probably stemmed from my mom being a bit overprotective. So there was a lot of, discussion of the potential dangers of the world and all that. But we also were suckers for every fucking urban myth that came down the pipe, you know? So, you know, don't go in those woods. I heard there's a dirt bike gang that lives in there, you know?
Dirt bike gang, you couldn't hear them. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but you believe it.
You believed it. Yeah, you believed it, you know?
Dirt bike gang.
I remember on Halloween, my mom, not every year, but a couple of years, my mom taking apart every piece of candy because of the thing about they're putting razor blades
right,
in candy.
Yeah.
I remember my mom believed and told me the story of the lady that wrote "Welcome to the World of AIDS" on the window or on the mirror in the hotel. We believed that. We believed them all.
The organs woke up in the tub with ice. And
my liver was gone.
Yeah, whatever that one was. Yeah, all the
we believed them all. So I think I was just and then you put a layer of true Catholic guilt. And whatever else on top of that, where there's punishment for action and all these things.
Burn in hell.
I think I had a real fear of physical. It wasn't just physical confrontation. It was a fear of physical anything. I had AIDS paranoia till I was in my 20s because I felt like it was punishment for careless sex.
Yeah,
well,
Magic Johnson got it. If you were sexually active, especially, and that time we're in our probably 20s.
Yeah,
it's terrifying.
I was about 16 when
you can die from fucking the one thing I want to do all the time.
When the Johnson thing hit, I was about 16, and it was like everybody and it was like, see, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And then Eazy-E fucked me up.
That's right.
Because I was a huge Eazy-E. I was a big rap fan. I loved, that's just a side note to what we're talking about. I was afraid of confrontation, but I loved anything that was confrontational. So I was immediately attracted to gangster rap. And I got obsessed with it. I wanted to be in a fucking gang. I wanted to carry a gun.
Dirt bike gang's right out back, bro.
They're right there. I didn't know how to ride a motorcycle.
Yeah. But I loved all that shit. I loved Sinatra because it was like, fuck you.
Yeah, my
way. You know? Yeah. Like, I loved all that shit. And it's funny. I wanted to be around bad kids because I knew that was protection. And it was also an acceptance, you know? Mm-hmm.
What was your dad like? That's your mom was overprotective. What was your dad like?
My dad's a pretty gentle guy. He's great. They're both great. I mean, you know, he was a stern father, but not, you know. I mean, I grew up when you got smacked, man. When you fucked up, you got smacked, you know?
Like, yeah.
And I don't regret it at all, you know? And I'm sure there's people right now going, well, see, that's why you had a fear of physics. It's not. It's not. Because it wasn't excessive. But when I fucked up, I called my mom a bitch once.
Oh, man.
My dad, he put it to me pretty good.
What, do you remember what he did?
Yeah.
Was it a belt?
I think it was a stick.
He came home with that. Probably broke it off outside the church when he was leaving. Like, I'm just going to take
this. Dude, I'll never forget. He was downstairs in the basement. He was in the basement. And he was doing something with a table saw. The fucking table saw was going, dog.
No, that's terrifying, dude.
And my mom said something. I go, stop being such a bitch.
How old are you?
14, maybe. Okay. I go, stop being such a bitch. And I heard the saw go, and I was like, how the fuck did he hear that? And he came up with a stick.
Nah.
Whatever he was cutting.
He's like, that's it. This motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, yeah, I wasn't.
He didn't break it across your face.
I wasn't bruised up or anything, but like, he gave it to me pretty good. That time,
oh,
I tried to fight him once too.
Yeah.
And he put that shit right to bed.
I talk about that. Like I said, I lost my dad at 16, but I think I was about 14 or 15 when he's like, you think you're wrestling and shit now? You think you're a man? I was like, let's go. It was so bad, right to the ground. Yeah. I was like, God damn. It was fast too. I was like, oh shit, I am not ready.
You know what's funny, man, is I have a friend. It's a guy we both know, but I don't want to say his name because I don't know if he's public with this story. But he's got teenage kids. And he told me a story of his, at the time, 16 or 17-year-old son trying to fight him. And he said he had to put it to bed because he goes, if this kid gets on top of me, there is going to be an irreversible power shift in this household. And that cannot happen. I have to be the father.
Alpha.
And it's like, I was like, damn, dude, I never thought of it like that. I just thought of it like, if you want to be a punk, you're going to get smacked like a punk. I never thought of it like, no, dude, you don't understand. This is the person providing to the child. The child cannot overpower that person. It's like you said, Alpha, that's real wolf pack shit.
It is wolf pack shit.
You know?
That is setting dominance in the household. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if your kid can take you, and listen, there are some 16-year-old kids that can whoop their dad. These kids now are big as shit. UFC kid. If I have a kid that's a UFC kid, I know I'm done. The motherfucker will snap my shins. I'm like, take the keys. Come back when you want.
Dude, I had a nephew. He passed, but.
What happened?
Yeah, he had a drug problem. It's a shame. It's a shame because I felt like he was a good kid, but he just was in a bad way. But that's a whole other story. But he was a bad kid. I mean, in his heart, he was a good kid, but he was a bad kid.
Did bad things.
Yeah. And he was living with my aunt, who also passed, but it was his grandma because his parents were all fucked up. And I was staying with her. It was when my uncle died. So she lost her husband. She's raising her grandkid. I mean, it was just a bad scene. And my mom was like, you got to help Aunt Sammy. Like Anthony's putting her through it, you know? And I remember he didn't want to go to school. He was already in. He was already like three times removed from regular school. He was in a goddamn...
Yeah.
He was in a hut in the woods where they were like, just color.
Yeah.
Just color. We're just trying to keep you out of jail.
He's a coloring book away from the dirt bike gang, bro. They were just out there revving it, waiting for him.
They're like, God damn, just keep this fucking kid off the street. He didn't have to do shit at school.
He just had to be there. That's all they wanted. God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I sat with him all, it was a Monday morning, and the night before I sat with him for like 2 hours and really bonded with him. And I was like, listen, man, your pop's dead. Like, you can't don't give your grandmom a hard time. And he was like, I know. And it was a really cool thing. And next morning he was just like, fuck you, I'm not going. And just went back on everything. And I was yelling at him. He got in my face. He was 14. I was probably 30. And I was like, this kid could fuck me up right now. I was like, there wasn't a doubt in my mind.
One headbutt to the nose. Yeah. I'm all like, God damn. Listen, Grandma, you're good luck. I tried. I'm out of here.
I don't know how. I finally got him to go to school.
You did.
But I was like, I was like, this kid, I'm not even, I can't. Now, I had no place to get physical with him. I wouldn't have put my hands on him. But I was like, if he wants to go, I'm going to have a problem. Because this is a kid that, like, from the time he was 11, was getting into fights.
But here's the other thing.
You know,
thing,
he was trained at this point. You know what I mean?
Street trained, too.
Yeah, street trained. Yeah.
There's a fucking goddamn razor blade hidden over in the bamboo bush in the house, you know? But also, they're kids. So you can't fuck a kid up. Even if it's your own kid, you still can't fuck them up. So it's like a... I usually do a full Nelson or a pressure point. I'm big on pressure points.
Right.
I used to fuck with my stepson all the time. Like, he would get me. I'd be like, oh, you're a big, bad motherfucker now. 11th grade, huh? And I would just take my thumb and put it right behind his ear, right to the ground. I'd be like, how bad are you? I got one fingertip on you, bro. You bad? You're bad? That's it. But you can't fucking snap an arm or some shit. Mm-mm.
Everything is getting more expensive. Gas, food, travel, including rent. Prices are skyrocketing all over the country. Buying a home might feel scary right now, but it could be your most stable option. You're guaranteed a fixed payment for the next 30 years. I highly recommend checking out the How to Buy a Home podcast. You've been hearing me talk about this for a while now. Host David Sedoni is an industry expert with years of experience who's devoted to helping first-time home buyers navigate this crazy marketplace, and he can help you too. Did you know there's a difference between interest rates and mortgage rates? David will break it all down for you. How to Buy a Home is an incredible resource, and you don't even have to take notes. Full transcripts of every episode are available at howtobuyahome.com. David's How to Buy a Home podcast has helped so many listeners close on houses that they thought were impossible, even as things went bonkers in 2021 and 22. And I'm telling you, people have come up to me at shows and told me they bought their first home because of this podcast. So if you're thinking about buying a home next month, next year, in 5 years, David can help you too. He can even connect you with the great realtor in your area. Start your path today with the How to Buy a Home podcast and make this the last year you rent. Listen to the How to Buy a Home podcast today. Find How to Buy a Home on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Take action today for a healthier tomorrow with Everlywell. Their at-home lab tests, vitamins, and supplements can help you get the best knowledge and support you need so you can become a healthier you. Everlywell is digital healthcare designed for you, all at an affordable and transparent price. With over 30 at-home lab tests, you'll be able to choose the test that makes the most sense for you to get the answers you need. I took the food sensitivity test. And I'm doing pretty good, man. But it makes sense why, you know, your boy's got to run to the bathroom after I have sushi. It's that ginger, y'all. Everlywell also has high-quality vitamins and supplements to support your overall health, including vitamin D3 and omega-3 fish oil. Here's how it works. Everlywell ships products straight to you with everything needed in one package. You simply collect your sample, use the included prepaid shipping label to mail your test back to a certified lab. Your physician review results get sent to your phone or device in days. You can even share the results with your primary care physician. It's so simple. Over 1 million people have trusted Everlywell to support their health and wellness goals, and you should too. For listeners of my show, Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/honeydew. That's everlywell.com/honeydew for 20% off your next at-home lab test. everlywell.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do.
All right, so your dad...
You can't even the way my dad used to smack me around. You couldn't do that now.
We got the belt one time. I'll never forget it. We got it once. I say we. My brother, I have a fraternal twin brother, and he's 4 minutes older, so everything was that order. Derek, Ryan, Todd, that order.
Right.
If we got in trouble, that order. We got fed, you know.
Yep.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And I don't remember what we did. But my mom told my dad something, and this motherfucker came home after a double shift at National Airlines working for Pan Am and took that belt off, told us both, get on the bed. And here's the real mind fuck of this is I have to watch my brother get it, knowing this is coming. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is what's about to happen to me. So he gets to get hit and go. I got to watch it, get hit, and go. And I am just, you know, putting my hands back there, and I'm getting the fucking, the belt buckle on my knuckles and shit.
It's brutal, dude.
He did it one time. And after that, he felt so fucking guilty. He's like, he pulled us aside and apologized. He's like, I'll never do that shit to you again. But what he started doing after that was he would get you right there on that, and he'd fucking crank on your arm. I'd be like, God damn it. And it didn't matter how big I was. If he got me back there, I knew I couldn't turn around and punch my dad because he had already showed me he could fuck me up.
I got the belt. My mom would give me the belt sometimes.
Mom, that's...
Never the buckle, but she'd give me... And it was more like she'd chase after me with it. It wasn't like she'd put me down. Yeah. And so it was enough that you didn't want to fuck up, but it wasn't like terrible. But I got the wooden spoon, too.
Yeah, I've had that.
And my cousin John, my Aunt Sammy's son, I remember my parents were laughing one day. And I was like, what's so funny? And they go, Aunt Sammy was hitting John with the wooden spoon, and he grabbed it from her and broke it. I was like, holy shit.
You could do that?
Yeah. That was like gangster shit. I was like, wow, man.
I got a brush one time that broke over my ass from my mom because she said, you little son of a bitch. And I said, you're right. And I was in elementary school.
Oh, that's a good comeback.
Oh, it was. It was. I knew I was on the big things when I got that ass whooping. I was like, oh, let's hurt her.
That's funny. My mom used to say, I was such a manipulative kid. My mom used to say, son of a bitch bastard, because that's like an Italian East Coast thing. And then I said to her one day, I go, you know what really hurts my feelings? Because I am, by definition, a bastard. I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I know. You start crying.
Yeah. And she was like, I'll never say that again. I'm so sorry.
Fuck yeah. That's great. That's great. All right. So you're adopted, your mom, your dad. Your dad's a deacon. So he's working, obviously.
He became a deacon diligently later in, the church, in life.
But through your life, he's working his way up.
He didn't get into the diaconate stuff till I was like in college.
So what was he doing when you were in middle school, high school?
My dad worked at Sperry Univac, which was the first company that it became Unisys eventually. But Sperry Univac was the company that created the first computer.
Is that right?
Yeah, he did engineering work there. And it was not. It's so funny. You tell that to people and they think like your dad's like Bill Gates or some shit. And it's like, no, that's not what it was. It was a job that he busted his ass for. They treated him like garbage. You know, he had to worry about layoffs every other year. And when he was in his 35th year at the company, they handed him his papers and said, take a fucking hike.
No.
Yeah. Like, and that's it. Like, it was one of those. I'm telling you, dude, we were every detail of the 80s suburban American, we were all of it. My dad had the thankless job that they booted him off from with without batting an eye after he put his whole life in. My parents had the house they were having a hard time keeping up on the payments with. My mom had to work. I was a latchkey kid. It was everything, dude. It was that whole fucking okey-doke that everybody fell for in the 80s with the suburbs, you know? I always said to my mom all the time, we should have never left the city. We were meant to be city people. And, you know, my parents had massive credit card debt. Everything, dude. The whole fucking thing. And it was just like I realized at a pretty early age, like, we don't belong here. And I hated the suburbs. I was a really depressed kid. I was a really, really sad kid. I had friends.
Do you play sports?
No, because I was terrible at them and I hated them. I always wanted to play music, so that's what I did. And my parents were very supportive. They didn't make me play sports. They didn't push me to do anything that I didn't like doing. They nurtured me with music. It was great. But I was into music, and I was very intrigued by music that spoke of another life that I wanted. You know, it started with hip hop and just the talk of the city and all that stuff. And I just, the deeper I got in, you know, into music and then came like heavy metal and punk rock and all these things where I was hearing about this other world that was out there somewhere. And I remember, and I say this with all seriousness, I remember when I first got introduced to porn, thinking the same thing, thinking there are like women out there that are like, okay with sex. And like, you don't, because I lived in this place where every fucking person was married. Nobody was single, you know? And I lived in that area in my early 20s still. And there were just no options. And I remember my friend saying, I remember it was like when internet porn first happened. And my friend saying like, that's fake, dude. There are chicks out there. And I was like, you're fucking wrong, dude. We're waiting to die in this place, man. Like, it's all right if you got a family and you want to raise your family here. And it's nice. But I'm like, we're 21 years old, dude. We're going to a bar and it's all older married couples. There's like a world out there for us. Like, and I just was obsessed with that from a very, very early age. I was a depressed kid. I remember very distinctly being woken up for the first day of school in third grade and very consciously thinking, I can't believe I have to go through another year of this. Like, I was just done, dude. I hated it. I hated school. I hated church. I hated where we lived.
I hated church, yeah.
I hated it. I loved my friends. But even with that, we had such limited access to anything, you know? Like,
did you date at all in high school? And I ask that for two reasons. One, you're describing how you were in high school. But the other one is you have a very religious Catholic family. Mm-hmm. So were you allowed to bring girls home?
I had a low
homecomings, proms.
Oh, yeah. Your
parents were okay. Were they practice safe sex or not talk about it at all?
It was sex before marriage was frowned upon.
Right.
So we didn't really talk much about sex, but they did teach me the basics. But they taught me the basics, like, but don't ever do this.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right.
My school certainly didn't teach it to me. You know, I was allowed to date. I dated, but I was not good at it until my senior year in high school, because I never, I had very low self esteem. I had very, very low self-esteem, and I was afraid to approach women. And it manifested in me in a negative way, as all relationships do. It wasn't a thing that was pointed towards women. It was a thing that I had pointed towards people. I had really severe abandonment issues. That comes from that subliminal thing that comes from adoption. And then you put in, you know, that combined with all the Catholic stuff, combined with my parents being a bit overprotective and all that stuff, I had really bad rejection issues and stuff. So when somebody slighted me or treated me poorly, which is much crueler, directly crueler when you're younger, I was like, I wanted to see fucking blood. You know what I mean? And it was just shit I carried for a long time. And it affected my ability to approach and date girls too, because I felt like I wasn't shit. You know what I mean? And I didn't have any confidence. And it wasn't until I started playing in bands, which was the tail end of my junior year, that I started to realize like, oh, like I can talk to girls, because I suddenly did something that was kind of cool that made them talk to me. that made a girl that I right. thought was cool say, like, hey, I like that thing you did. And mm-hmm. now suddenly I had some something chips on the table.
Right.
Yeah. And that went 1,000-fold when I started doing comedy. Because I still had the self-esteem issues, but I was able to navigate them that I was dating and stuff to an extent. But I remember when I started doing stand-up, I was still really intimidated when it came to women. And Rocco Stowe, you know Rocco? Mm-hmm. Brian Stowe? He's a comic out here in L.A. And he's a guy I started out with in Philly. But he goes, come on, dude. He's like, and he was always good with chicks. He was just always good with it. He was that guy. He was like Travolta in Saturday Night Fever, you know? And I remember he said to me, he goes, it's just like when you're up on stage, man. Like, why does your confidence leave you when you leave the stage? And I was like, I don't know, dude. But he was what's that movie, Hitch, with Will Smith?
Yeah.
He was like my Hitch, you know, where he kind of taught me how to have confidence. And then all of a sudden, I realized like, oh no, it's beyond... I'm putting such a I'm focusing on all the wrong stuff, you know? I'm focusing on all the wrong details. If I just have confidence, there's something here that I can share with somebody else, you know? So that's how that went.
Well, let me ask you, why have you not ever sought out your biological parents? What is it that...
I don't know.
Do you feel like you're cheating on your parents?
A little bit.
Yeah. Have they ever told you they'd be cool with it? Or
they're 100% supportive.
I was
going to
say, I'm sure they are. They sound like a great
They're 100% parent. Supportive.
Have you done a 23andMe?
Yep.
So do you have other siblings?
No.
That you know, at least that you know of, right? Because how does that work? You have to. Other people have to put their info in as well, right?
Yeah, I did both. I did Ancestry and 23andMe, and I think there's a third one now. But
no one else pops up.
Like fifth cousins, fourth cousins. I don't think I ever got past fourth cousin. You know, who cares, right? But like, no, I just never looked. I had one therapist tell me that I need to.
Why need?
She said, the beginning of your life has a huge question mark looming over it, and you should go figure out who these people are. And I didn't really agree with her.
I understand that.
You know? And it also can go two ways.
Got answered in 9 days. It's not that big of a question. Or it could have been just a young mom who couldn't take care of you. Could have been a lot of different
things. And don't
get
it twisted, dude. Like, and this is one of the things I used to joke about in my act, but everybody thinks it's going to be fucking Field of Dreams, where your dad goes, want to play catch? You know, and all that. There's horror stories, dude. There's fucking horror stories. So, it's a gamble. And I don't really want to make the gamble. You know, when these people are giving up a baby in their teens. Yeah. Chances are they didn't make the right decisions.
It didn't start out great for them either.
Chances are I was the start of the dominoes falling.
You probably were. You probably were, dude. Or they figured it out. They've That's got the that fucking suburb life with three great kids, and Joe's just out there somewhere.
You know, it's funny, man. I'm now trying to talk about, and it's not, I can't figure out how to get it to work. But I'm a pro-choice guy. And as an adopted person, that's kind of an interesting take because it could have went the other way on me. I try to be selfless in that department and say, well, for me, sure, you know, but Christ, my thing worked out. A lot of people's, whatever. But I'm approaching, but I keep trying to figure out how to work a bit about like, because you always hear, if it wasn't for abortion, that, you know, XYZ. And I'm like, but if it was for abortion, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So like, it's an interesting, weird, like, you know, conflict that you have, you know, but... I don't know, you know. I guess I just and maybe one of the reasons I can't figure out how to make it work is because I almost don't really believe it. I don't see myself as somebody that didn't come from my parents.
Yeah, I can get the. I mean, like, your memory's not even formed at 9 days.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm their blood, and I resemble them in certain ways. Yeah, and like emotionally, physically. You know, remember my friend Scott, again, his mom telling me, she's like, I can't believe you're adopted. You look just like you know, like, it's not like a weird, It's not like Different Strokes where you're like,
different
kids don't look like the dad.
Two of these kids.
You know, but it's like, I don't know, man. I just, you know, and my great regret was my parents were going to adopt a second kid.
They were?
Yeah. They wanted to adopt an Asian kid.
How old were you?
I was pretty 10, less young.
Boy or girl?
I don't know. But they asked me if I would feel comfortable with it, and I said I didn't feel comfortable with it because I couldn't process at that time having a sibling that didn't look like me. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't, and I can't say it's a regret. I was a fucking kid. Yeah, you know what I mean?
10? Yeah.
And like, you could argue that my parents shouldn't have posed that question to me, or you can argue that they were being great parents by saying, we want to discuss this with our child.
They were like, we just wanted to know how you felt about having another sibling, not whether he was Asian.
You're focusing on the Asian. They're like, how do you feel about a brother?
I feel terrible about it.
As long as he ain't Asian, I'm good. Yeah, what if they had said, hey, it's a white kid. Would you have said yeah? Or was it more about being an only child?
I would have been thrilled.
You would have.
I can't, like, isn't that fucked up?
Well, not at 10.
Like, but I mean, like, or I might have been a little younger than that. But, like, it's, but my point is like, isn't that weird that at that, that's why I don't buy, look, I'm not saying I was an evil person. A child can't process certain things that are pretty when you get older.
Well, also, let's go to your defense here, because also at this age now where you are, you're surrounded by nothing but the same kind of people you are. And here you are already being told, well, you haven't been told not to talk about being Arab yet. Maybe it was around that Asian kid time that your mom's like, you know what, we might let him know.
Yeah.
We might let him know he's different.
Yeah, before he starts cutting half of his body. But but it's interesting because it regret's not the right word. You can't regret something like that, but I wish I would have thought otherwise. And who knows? My parents, honestly, it was for the best. My parents couldn't have afforded to take on another kid. And maybe they were just asking me very passively, you know? It's something I should probably discuss with them at some point. But I don't think – it wasn't like they were at the place
holding the kid. Calling you like with the phone.
Yeah, we're bringing him home. Yeah. So – and, you know, and I might be misremembering. It might have been a foster situation. I don't remember. But, you know, it's – honestly, it's probably for the best. But, you know, that would have been kind of cool to have a sibling. You know, which my cousin Danielle.
I was going to ask you, do you have close cousins or anything like that?
Well, we've had a lot of death in my family, sadly. We had a big family and holidays and everything. They were big, big celebrations, 20 people. And everybody, it's very, very sad. My uncle, so first my grandfather died. Then my Uncle John died. Then my Nana died. Then my Aunt Sammy died. No. Then my Aunt Enika died.
How long are we talking about in all this?
5 years.
Jesus.
It was a huge blow.
They just all started going.
Yeah, so Aunt Enika died. Then Aunt Sammy died. Then my Uncle Brian, who was married to... So Aunt Sammy and Uncle John, they were married. Both dead. My Uncle Brian, or my cousin Sarah, his daughter, she moved away, got married, moved to Georgia. Then my Uncle Brian moved down south. So, dude, our family went from like this to like, whew. So holidays now are me and my parents, my cousin Chris and Will, that their dad's my Uncle Brian, and then my cousin Danielle and her husband and her kids. And my cousin Danielle, her parents were my Uncle John, my Aunt Sammy. So she has become like a sister figure for me because her parents are gone. My parents live near them. So they step in for her daughter when they have like grandparents' day or something. My parents go.
That's nice.
And it's just a new family. It's like we now have this thing that feels a little more like this is me and my sister and her kids and my parents, you know? but
they call you uncle?
Yeah. which is nice because I don't have siblings. So, you know, Dylan is her son, and he's old now. He's married now, but he's 20, I think 22. But they come
watch you do stand up stuff.
He hasn't because he went into the military before.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Basically, right when he was old enough to finally start coming to shows, he went to the military. So he's seen me do stand up on TV and shit, but he doesn't come. Danielle and her husband will come. Ava, her daughter, she's too little.
What about your parents?
In fact, Ava asked to watch me, and she's like, my cousin's like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents come all the time. And then.
Have you ever done material about adoption and stuff in front of your parents?
Yeah, they think it's funny.
Yeah.
And they think my stuff about the Catholic Church is funny.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Oh, I don't really do it anymore, but I used to.
Yeah.
I used to do a thing about Jesus. It's funny. Most Catholics in the audience would get mad. My dad loved it, though. My dad thought the bit was hilarious. I used to think about Jesus. People having the audacity to pray to Jesus, you know, like I lost my wallet, you know, or I got mugged. Why is this world so cruel? And then I would do Jesus reacting like, you know, they beat me until I had a prolapsed asshole. You want to wear me your fucking wallet? Man the fuck up, you pussy. You know? And Catholic people always get real mad. But my dad thought it was funny because my dad got it. My dad is very religious.
Right.
But he's righteous. He's truly righteous because he's like, no, I that's a pro-Jesus joke. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I was just watching a clip of Sam Morrell talking about like, he did an abortion joke, but it was a pro-woman joke, but the woman cried, you know what I mean, and got offended by it. It's interesting to see that with my dad. Like and my mom used to kind of nudge me to go back to the church. And my dad said to her one day, after many years of this and us arguing about it, leave him alone. We found our path. He has to find his. That's righteous. And my mom is righteous too. My dad, I think, got there a little sooner than she did, which is okay. We're all growing, you know? And I was no angel in those exchanges either. But they're truly, I admire that, you know? They're not running around saying, you know, gay people are wrong and this and that. They're not doing any of that, you know? Like, they're just trying to live like a guy they admire lived. You know what I mean? So I think that's actually very cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
Do you want kids?
Fuck no.
No?
Fuck no.
Like you really don't, or you just that hadn't happened?
I can't think of a greater hell. When you texted me today, you were like, "I'm just getting my daughter off the camp." I was like, "Oh Jesus." I was like, man, I want a muffin and get somebody off the camp.
I did. I got her off the camp. It was a motherfucker. Today's dude was day one. We're at the back. They're like, you're at the teacher's lot. I'm like, yeah, but we're right here. Can you just let us in the gate? You know, and they're like, no, you can't let you in the gate. You got to go to the front. I'm like, can we walk around? I'm like, you got to drive. I'm like, they blocked the street off. She's like, you got to go to the other. I'm like, God damn. Go around, enter him. Yeah, I'm out there banging like, hey, we're here. You know?
I can't. I mean, here's.
I love it, though. I mean.
I'm sure it's beautiful. I mean, I'm joking. You know what I mean? I'm not joking. I'm joking, joking.
I know. But you're sure you don't want to be a parent.
I opened a bar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm connected to this fucking place. I can't just cut and run. And the commitment of that is at times quite overwhelming. I can't imagine if it was a living, breathing person. Because even with a business, like this bar is the biggest thing I've ever undertaken in my life. In my life. It is the biggest commitment I've ever made, ever. And it's not just to this space. It's to my partner, my business partner. It's to the customers. It's to your staff. There's so much you have to come through on for people. And hey, man, at the very least, it's X number of years on that lease, right? It's fulfilling and gratifying and terrifying. It's a lot of different things. But I still know that, God forbid, if it were all to not work out, eventually it just goes away. If all went wrong and it didn't work, you go, okay, all right, we tried. We tried our best. With a kid, there is no, it goes away. And I just can't fathom that commitment. I can't fathom it. I could barely fathom it in a marriage sense, to be with somebody.
Okay, so let's go to that real quick. You're open to being married, but even not having a kid.
My dream, what I truly want to be in a committed relationship without marriage, without getting the state involved.
I hear you loud and clear on that.
But a committed relationship. We can have a ceremony where we commit to one another, but I'm not getting the fucking...
Are you doing it? You're not doing it in a church then? You're just going to do a ceremony?
I'm not doing anything that makes it official.
Agreed.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? But...
I just need some thumbs up, no wet signatures.
I've seen some people go through it, you know, and I'm like, I don't, fuck that, dude. So anyway, but I'm all for commitment, but I want us to live in separate places, not cities, separate
homes.
Yes. I think it is.
You want a girlfriend.
Yeah.
There's no wife that's going to do that shit.
Well, I disagree.
I feel like those kind of wives are the women that have been with their husband for 20 years and are like, we just don't feel like doing the paperwork to get this shit undone, and I'm going to live over here.
Well, here's why. I think I have a pretty rational argument for this. I think it is so hard to find somebody you can commit yourself to in that sense, and then you want to put cohabitation on the table. It's forget it. How many friends do you have? Your best friends. The people you're closest with, but you're like, if I lived with this person, I would fucking kill them. Because living together is, I'm not saying we don't stay together. I'm not saying we don't spend the weekend in our place or his place or her place, whatever. I'm just saying you need that. You need to be able to get away. Because something stupid, like the way you leave the bathroom, that to me can spark a fuse. It's just too much. Why are we, you know? It's like, I can't.
So where does that anxiety come from? Because you didn't grow up in that environment. You grew up in what seemed, what was your parents, a loving marriage? Were they good with each other, affectionate in front of you, hugs, things like that?
Hands? They're very affectionate. And I'm very affectionate with them. You know, my dad's dad was a good man, but callous. I tried to hug my grandfather once, and he said, you hug women, you don't hug men.
No.
Yes.
Damn.
Well, that ain't shit. When my dad went to Vietnam, my grandfather shook his hand and said, come home safe.
No.
He never said, I love you.
Not a hug?
No. You're
going to Vietnam, dude.
Come home
a
safe.
Kid. Oh, God.
Man, that is some shit right
there. Fucked up,
yeah,
right?
That's really fucked up.
So my dad was, in turn, very affectionate. I hug and kiss my dad every time I see him.
You know, okay.
My mom's father was in certain ways a good man, but he was abusive. And again, she went the other way with it. She's like, I'm not going to ever let my kid go through what I went through. So they're affectionate. They're affectionate with me. They're affectionate without. It doesn't mean we're not loud. We argue. We're a loud family, but my whole family's loud. You know, it's not unusual for a big, if you watch like the old Woody Allen movies where he shows his family at like Passover, that's, you know, that's like kind of how my family is. So, so wait, what was your, oh, oh, why?
Where does that anxiety come from to not want to
coexist or cohabitate, rather?
Yes.
It's not, I wouldn't call it anxiety. It's, I've lived with people and I have almost always resented those people.
And you are you talking roommates as well, or are we just talking about
no roommates?
Not roommates.
I'm talking about moving in with your boys, like moving in with your people, dudes. You'd take a bullet for, and a year in, you're like, I got to move out, man. You don't know how to fucking respect somebody. You're like, fill the fucking ice cube trays, man.
Dude, I'm right there.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I meet the love of my life.
You can't tell your wife like that.
Yeah.
Fill the fucking ice cube tray.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you mean.
So if I meet the love of my life, why am I bringing that into it? Why? Honey, you got your place. Live however you want to live there. I'll live in my place how I want to live. And you come stay with me, and I'll come stay with you. But here's the difference. When I come stay with you, and you got Tupperware in the same cabinet as spoons and bowls, I'm like, you got a goofy-ass kitchen.
Not my problem.
Yeah. I'm not like, what the fuck? You know? Yeah. It's a fight that just doesn't need to happen.
Tupperware was...
I can't take shit I'm like that, man.
Yeah. Tupperware is its own motherfucking drawer, okay?
Absolutely.
That includes Cool Whip containers and shit, too. It goes down there.
Yeah. But also,
oh God.
Let me flip it the other way. She shouldn't have to deal with me being like, the four remotes go right here at all times. Your wallet is never on the coffee table. Your wallet goes on top of the bookshelf. You know what I mean? Like, I have my way of doing shit because it's my system. I like to – here's something. I really like to go to sleep to my iPad or to audiobooks or whatever. People have sleep rituals that help them sleep. You don't need to fuck that up because the other person can't sleep that way or whatever it is, or they have their thing that you can't stand. You know, I dated a girl once that was like – in order to sleep, I have to put, she had a fan like on a, I don't know, it was like on the wall or whatever, but it had like an extension arm. She's like, I have to blast it in directly into my face, full blast, and then lay under the four blankets. So I'm cold, but I'm making myself warm. She's like, that's the only way I can sleep. I'm like, now if I married that woman, you got to be like, look, you got to go, I don't want to fuck up your sleep. Sleep. We don't need to, it doesn't need to be 24/7. You know what I'm saying?
Are you open to your own bedroom in the same house? It's that Tupperware and silverware, isn't it?
It just goes beyond. It's the wares.
The wares and the tears.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It goes beyond the kitchen. It goes beyond the kitchen. I love, like you, we were talking about me and Sal earlier, right? I love Sal, man. Sal is my man. I'm lucky to have met a friend that great in my 40s.
Yes.
I mean, that's
it's
crazy.
Rare. Yep.
We're tight as hell. If I lived with Sal, I'd murder him.
Yeah, like, you guys.
Sal's real big on you got to take your shoes off when you come in the house, shit like that. I'm like, dog, I can't do this, man. You know what I'm saying? So why ever, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I love that dude. I don't. His bathroom habits don't need to come into this. Do it. I'll do mine, and we're cool. I sneezed on his floor the other day. I mean, the guy was going to have a fucking stroke. It's on an episode of coming out of Taste Buds. I panicked, and I sneezed away from him.
Panicked? You tried to respect that. Yeah, you knew.
And I sneezed like this, and I didn't cover up because I panicked. And he's like... Dude, he talked to me about it for 20 minutes. He's like, what are you doing? I don't understand. I understand. This, you know the sneeze is coming. I'm like, dude, I could. You, could you live with that?
No, I couldn't live with that.
He's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, there's just a lot that comes into cohabitation that I think it's progressive because it's my idea. or what I believe in, at least. But I do think it is progressive. I think it's good.
Well, yeah. Listen, here's the thing. If you really take a look, I'm sitting here thinking about your life as we're talking about this. You have a podcast with Sal that you can go to, work together, have fun, right. Leave. You got the restaurant with Paul, you go to, you work together, you leave. Mm-hmm. You seem to have built your relationships in exactly the manner you're talking about. Although they're not romantic, they're relationships nonetheless.
Yeah.
And it seems like you've stayed true to your structure there.
I need my space, man. Paul Italia, my business partner and one of my best friends. I'm lucky to be able to say that about people. Ari Shaffir makes fun of me for it. He goes, you say dear friend too much. And I go, no, I don't. I have a lot of dear friends, Ari. You know, maybe because I don't say psychotic shit on Twitter.
And drug them in front of their kids.
I
said the other day.
I go, Ari, I have many dear friends because I don't dose them or say crazy shit on Twitter. And he's like, okay, But Paul, you know, like I call, I'm having a lot of problems with I bought a Jeep and I bought it used as is, and I'm having a lot of problems with it. And I had a major thing with it right before I left for this trip. And I was talking to my dad about it because I was kind of freaking out, you know, and I was just venting to my dad. And my dad's like, I wish I could help you. I don't know what to do. And I was like, there's nothing anybody can do. Don't worry about it. And then Paul called me, and this is like touching, man. He called me and he's like, give me the number of the mechanic. While you're gone, I'm going to go take care of your Jeep because I think these guys might be fucking around with you right now. And I called my dad and I told him that. And my dad was like, a friend like that is one in a million. And I was like, yeah, I know. You know, that's lucky.
Yeah.
I love this motherfucker. I couldn't live with him.
All right, we're going to end right there. That was great. Now, hold on, though.
Yeah.
Your first time here, I told you at the beginning, going back, listening to everything we've talked about, what advice would you give 16-year-old Joe DeRosa?
By the way, I got out running to the wire. I almost teared up talking about how good of a friend Paul was.
I saw it.
I got right through.
You did, dude. And then dropped it with a joke. That's how this is what that show is.
God damn it. 16-year-old me, honestly,
say yes to the Asian brother.
Say yes. Yeah, say yes. Go revisit the Asian brother. Honestly, man, I would just say don't put so much of your self-worth in other people. It seems at this age that that's what it is, but that's not what it is. And the second you stop doing that, the sooner you're going to start to have a good life. Because that's not something I learned until I was, like I said, I was doing comedy. That's when I started to realize I had something to offer because I could do this thing. Mm-hmm. And then as I did that thing and met people through doing that thing, because now all of a sudden there was a connecting thing, right? Oh, you're funny. Whether it was another comic, whatever. I realized, oh, there's a lot more to me too that I can also offer. You know what I mean? So that's what I would say. It's you know, you might have a hard time figuring out how to make the connection, but don't put your value in all the people around you.
That's fucking well said, you know? Bro. Yeah.
Especially because a lot of them are going to tell you you can't.
Right.
Most
of them are going to tell you, nah, yeah.
I got to tell you, when I look back on how many people told me I can't, and I'm a spiteful dude. I mean, I had teachers, theater teachers. I was a theater minor. And I get it. If you're not a major, they got to give the kids that are majoring in it the stuff first. But I couldn't get respect from my theater teachers and a lot of my fellow theater students. And I'm like, if I would have listened to these people, I never would have been on any TV shows. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So, but it fucks you up at the time. You want the professor to tell you you're good and you're putting all of your worth in his opinion. Don't.
Self-approval.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole secret.
Dude, that's great. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, man.
Plug everything again, please.
All right. Joey Roses, New York City, Sandwich Shop, bar, social club. Great time. Come on down and see us. We're open Tuesday through Sunday. We open at 12 p.m. every day. We fresh bake the bread every day. Come through. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed.
When I come to New York, I'm coming.
Please, man. We'll have a great time.
And by the way, you have 8 sandwiches for $8. You and Sal should absolutely debate them on fucking Taste Buds.
Well, I can't have him. I can't do a thing where somebody might say a negative thing.
Just talk about why he likes that one better.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. It's got to be all positive.
Yes.
But we've brought him on Taste Buds and stuff. And Sal thankfully loves them all. But come through, you won't be disappointed. JoeyRoses.nyc.com for all your information. And you can also order directly through our website there if you want. And then all my upcoming live dates
starting.
Wait,
real quick, do you ship?
We don't ship yet. Okay. We're getting
You
there.
Will? All right.
Oh, yeah, we will. All we right. will. We're going to get into Gold Belly and all that. We're just, you know, trying to lay the foundation first. And then all my live dates, starting with Atlantic City this month. Go to joederosainfo.com for tickets and show information. Joe DeRosa Comedy on Instagram and Twitter, and the podcasts are Taste Buds, and we'll see you in hell. Thank you.
Happy birthday week.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it. And as always, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next week.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.